I've heard Pastor say this, and now I can attest to what he was saying is I'm at a dilemma. Prepare a message. God tells me about something else. And then a third thing hits me when I come to the pulpit. Somebody asked me, how long do you preach tonight? Yeah, I'm looking right at him. Yeah. I guarantee you I won't go as long as Paul. You won't fall out of the roof, out of the window and die or anything. Praise God. So I'll be safe tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 5, and then we'll go to Mark chapter 15. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but by the power of God. Everybody say power. Say, I want power. Mark chapter 15, verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he scourged him to be crucified. I want to talk to you just a little bit today about knowing the power of Christ. Knowing the power of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, need your anointing today. I need your touch today. God, will you move, Lord, in my heart? God, speak through me today. Oh, God, do a work in this place today. God, I ask in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I love you today. I love you today. I love you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Crucifixion is something that we don't really like to think in depth about. You know, this world that we live in knows about a little baby born over 2,000 years ago. They know about a man that died on a cross a little over 2,000 years ago. They can even go and see a movie and view the crucifixion as gruesome as they can paint it on the screen. But yet they can walk away from there and they can say, there's something about the man Jesus. There's something about this man that is different than any other man. But yet, in a week or 2 weeks' time, they seem to forget what they saw. They forget what actually happened, and they go back to the way that they've always lived. How many times has a message come from this pulpit, and you were moved by the power of God, and you came to an altar and God touched you, only to walk away and still be the same as you've always have been? God is not in the business of just touching and leaving. God is in the business of touching and changing. You see, it doesn't matter how bad your life is, and it doesn't matter how good your life is. I always said this when I was pastoring. When you walk in those doors, when you leave, you will be different than you came in. You will either be closer to God or you'll be farther from God. Oh, Lord, help me become closer to God. You can never stay the same when you are in the presence of Almighty God. You will be one either softer or two harder. I don't want the latter. Crucifixion. I may get a little gruesome here for a little bit. Sorry if it goes against what you feel in your spirit, but I have to bring some things out so you can understand. From this pulpit, I cannot bring it to the point that it actually was. But with the power of God and the inspiration of God, maybe I can get close to where you can understand that there is some commitment that you need to make to this man, Christ Jesus. Crucifixion was probably the most horrible form of capital punishment at the time. Matter of fact, capital punishment today is nothing compared to the way it used to be. There's a place in town, and I haven't been there, but I've been to one like it in L.A., and it's called Medieval Times. It's a dinner place, but they have a room off to the side that shows all the different forms of torture and devices in there that show you exactly how it was done, and it would horrify you. We can say that Christians were put between four horses and pulled apart. You just don't understand what it was like back then. Crucifixion being the one that nobody wanted to go through, but everybody wanted to watch. It appears to have its origin with the Persians, but the Romans seemed to perfect it. You see, crucifixion was a way of keeping somebody in so much pain, but yet they would not die until they wanted them to die. They would leave the person with just enough strength to make it just a few more hours. The Greeks, Alexander the Great, crucified over 2,000 men, military age, because he just took over a country. Seems like, you know, if you wanted to get rid of people, just get rid of them. But no, he wanted to make a statement. Romans, after a slave revolt, killed through crucifixion 6,000 slaves in the matter of just a few days. It was a gruesome time to live. Crucifixion victims, as a rule, was first subject to scourging. We see this with Jesus Christ. But the scourging was more than for Jesus Christ than what was normally went on. You see, the scourge was just a whip, cat of nine tails, made of leather, and they would whip them until they got tired. How many of you children thought that your parents would never get tired when you were getting your little spanking? It was nothing like burly men wanting blood. With Jesus, they scourged him with a scourge that actually had either stones, glass, or metal attached to them. And they whipped him until His organs were showing till his bones were exposed. And they even said that possibly his flesh or his meat, his muscle was tore from the bone. I'm talking about crucifixion. A medical doctor wrote in American Medical Associate magazine about this whipping of Jesus Christ. His name was Dr. W. Edwards, and he said that it was very unlikely that Jesus Christ could have been whipped the way he did and still be able to function. He had to be in shock to be able to do what he did and leave where he was whipped and go to Calvary. No wonder somebody had to carry his cross. They tell me that normally at that time they would only carry the crossbeam, not the whole cross. That crossbeam weighed about 150 pounds by itself. Jesus was expected after the whipping to march that piece of wood up to Calvary's hill. He faltered and fell, and they pulled Simon out, and Simon did it for him. I would have to tell you today that it was not a pretty picture. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he was marred more than any man. He was so marred that you could not recognize who he was. You did not even know it was just a hunk of flesh walking down the road. Why are you saying all this, Brother Murphy? I'm trying to get your attention, trying to get you to understand something. The shape, I should say, the lack of water, the lack of food, and the beating and the draining of his blood, it was a wonder he ever made it to Calvary's hill. I said all that to let us know that man has become comfortable with Jesus Christ. Some religions recognize him as a great prophet. Some recognize him as a charlatan. They do not believe that he really was who he said he was. But we today recognize him as God Almighty. But after saying some of this, and I didn't even touch what Calvary was really like, you may walk out of here tonight not experiencing what God wants you to experience. And that is receiving his power. We just say we thank God for what he did. We thank God that he has done what he's done. And we sing, thank God for the blood. And we rightfully so, we should say these things. And, you know, nothing but the blood of Christ. And we focus on the blood of Christ, but we don't let it change us. We will come to an altar and say, God, I want to know you. But really what we are doing is we are learning about him. And we know about him. And we understand that he is God. But it seems that he is detached completely from our normal way of thinking. You see, God doesn't want you to know about him. God wants you to know him. He doesn't want to be just a normal friend. He wants to be closer than that. He doesn't want just to be your best friend. He wants to be your Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, once again, 1 through 5 says, "And I, brethren, then, or, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with enticing of our excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Paul? Fearful? Trembling? Weak? We're talking about the Apostle Paul? Yes, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration." Everybody say demonstration. Demonstration. That's power. "Demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I did not come to you." Paul's saying, "I came to you in weakness. I came to you in fear. I came to you trembling. I didn't have a lot of wonderful speech to give you. I was not an orator to you. All I did was come to you with this demonstration and power." But if you look at the beginning of what he said, this is where the demonstration and the power comes from. And that was, "I know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We want to come to church and hear a message that will tickle our ears and make us feel good. When I walk out, man, we had wonderful church, and I'm thankful I'm in a church that doesn't go by that guideline. I've heard Brother Copeland preach, and I've heard other people preach, and you know, they don't beat around the bush in this place. They don't say things just to make you feel good. You see, the ministry of this church knows that if you don't get what God wants you to have, you'll walk out and you won't feel good. If you want true happiness, if you want true joy, if you want true satisfaction, it will only be found at the foot of the cross. There is something we must see here. There is a connection here that we must know. The connection is between the power of God and the preaching of the cross. The key point here is Paul did not come with men's words. I'm going to tell you what he came with. He came with God's words. He came with demonstration and power. He came healing the sick. He came doing the things that God wanted him to do. He came doing the things that Jesus Christ promised that the disciples would do. He said, "You will do these miracles and you will do more." Paul did not stop with just the few things that Jesus did. I believe he went beyond that in the demonstration and power of God. But to get the power that you need, you must find the connection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul gives us some more insight on the wisdom of God. Verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." He didn't say he didn't baptize. We see in Scripture that he did baptize. It said, "Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel," which part of the gospel is baptism. Amen. "Not with words of human wisdom." Everybody say human wisdom. "Lest the cross of Christ should be empty of its power." Actually, I'm reading another translation there. In this one it says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. But the other translation says, "Not with words of men's wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be empty of its power." Do you understand that I can give you a pretty sermon and it will eliminate the power of the cross? It'll sound good to the ear. It'll make you feel good in your carnal state. But you will not receive power if you do not find the cross. The wisdom of man drains the cross of its power. Why did Jesus walk and call men that didn't have an education? Because Jesus understood education, whether it's well and good, that's up to you to say. But, and I believe we need education in this day, but don't let it get in the way of your reasoning when it comes to the Word of God. You can have all the wisdom of this world you want and never find the power of God. There is something about knowing Him that brings a change in the way you think or even act. When you finally know Him, there's places you're not going to go. There's things you're not going to do. There's ways you're not going to act. There's things you're not going to say. Because I know in whom I've believed. I know Him. And I want to find out more about Him. And anything I do that jeopardizes or puts in a block between me and Him, you know, I've got to get rid of those things. I cannot let anything hinder me getting to know Him more. I remember many years ago, and I've seen through the years many different people try to get to know another person because they wanted to marry them. What did they do? They spent time on the phone. Back in my day, it was letters. There was no email. There was no text messaging. It's either phone or letters. That's all there was to it. Or face-to-face. You know what's scary nowadays? Is people don't know how to communicate. I literally invited, before I was pastor, I invited a couple over to my house. They were engaged, going to get married, and they sat next to each other on the couch and texted each other. They didn't know how to talk to each other. Finally, my wife and I said, "Put the phones over there. We've got to talk." They eventually got married, and you know what? They still can't talk. I'm just telling you the truth. If you want to know somebody, you've got to talk to them. Right. If you want to know Jesus Christ, you've got to come to His feet and you've got to talk with Him and you've got to engage with Him. You know, I love this song, Take Me to the Throne, Take Me Before the Throne. You know, there's a song about that and I can't remember all the words now, but basically saying, I want to be in your presence. As much as I love that song, I'd rather say, take me to the cross. Take me to the foot of the cross. Why? Because there is where I get to know Him. Power doesn't come by just coming to church. Power doesn't come by responding to a message and thinking that's all there is to it. Power does not come with God until you find the foot of the cross. There are some things about knowing Him that bring a change to the way we think or even act. Because in knowing Him, we see His power at work. When we know Him, it doesn't matter who we are anymore. It's all about Him. It does not matter what my agenda is anymore. It's about His agenda. It's no longer what I believe. How many of you heard people say, well, I believe. It's no matter what I believe. It's what does the Word of God say. It's no longer what can I do to further the kingdom of God. It's what, God, can you do through me to further your kingdom? Gonna tell you how old I am, but I remember a song that says, I miss my time with you. These moments together. I used to meet with you each day, but it hurts me when you say you're too busy. You're too busy trying to serve me. But how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? Too many people work for God without God working through them. You will never do anything for God without His Spirit working through you. Brother Murphy, I want to win a soul this year. Let me tell you the best way to win a soul. Get to the foot of the cross. Yeah, you've got to talk to people, but let me tell you something. Word without spirit will kill. You can go and give them a Bible study, but if you haven't prayed and you haven't gotten the spirit, you do not give them anything but death. You see, you need enough Holy Ghost in you that it's flowing over and it's splashing on them. And they're going, you know, I want what you've got. There's something I feel. You can walk over here to Dollar General and walk through that line, and that cashier there all of a sudden starts getting splashed. There's something they've got. There's something they have. You never said a word to them about who Jesus was. You never said a word to them about how, you know, you need your life changed. No, they feel something. Why? Because you spent time at the cross. You will win many people just by staying at the foot of the cross. I'm not going to cover everything I have here tonight because I feel God shifting. I want to say this. I worked for Music and Come. When I was working for Walmart, of all places, I worked in the electronics department. And guess what? I was working there at the time where they wanted experts in every department. You know, every they wanted a computer expert, they wanted a television expert, they wanted a, guess who got to be the television expert? The guy that doesn't have a TV, doesn't want to watch a TV. I sold more computers being a television expert. But one thing I learned is that people knew who you were without even saying anything. I'm walking because I had to stay with the TVs all the time. I'm walking back and forth in front of the TVs. And there's, you can't approach anybody. They got to approach you. And so I'm walking back and forth. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're great. Jesus, you know. I'm praying back and forth. 8 hours I get to pray, you know. One morning I come in, and this is back when our store wasn't 24 hours, and I came in at 7 o'clock. I opened up the store, and this lady comes in needing a cell phone, prepaid phone, so I'm helping her get that, and she does her purchase. She turns around and walks away, and I actually spin to go the other direction, and all of a sudden I heard, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I never said a word. And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I need you to pray for me." I said, "Okay. You know how we are. I'll pray for you. I'll pray in my own time and when I feel good about it." And I said, "Sure, I'll pray for you." She gets on her knees right there in front of me. "I need you to pray right now." Okay. I lay my hand on her and I'm praying for her. And get done. She gets up, she leaves. I've never seen the lady before. I gave her a church card. Never seen her before since. But when I turned around to walk the other direction, my boss is standing right there. And the first thing I said was in my mind was, "I'm fired. It's over. Done. Adios." She looks at me, and I'm telling you, this is God. She looks at me and she said, "Customer service," and turned around and walked away. You can be a Christian wherever you are. It doesn't matter if policy says you can't do it. God will be there with you. But you've got to find the cross. You've got to find the cross. There's a song that not very many people in this place will know, a few of us will. But it goes like this: "Calvary, Calvary, will you please, please speak to me? Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay." And the echo rings clear out of all the hills of old Judea. "Tell the lost, tell the lost, tell the lost." If you want to repay God for what he has done for you, Find him at the cross. Get the power. Get the resurrection power in yourself. And then go tell the lost. Let's stand. If there's anybody in this place today that wants power with God, if you want to know him and his power, then you must find the cross. You must find a place on your knees and you must say, God, I'm not leaving here until I get a hold of your feet. Until that blood flows over me again. Until I get the power. Not just a power to be a Christian, but a power to be a witness. I'm going to open these altars as I sing this chorus. After I sing it, they can do what they want after that, but it just goes, Calvary, Calvary, won't you please, please speak to me. Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. The echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. Oh, Calvary, Calvary, won't you please, please speak to me. Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. The echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. One more time. Oh, Calvary, Calvary, won't you please, please speak to me. Tell me how much I owe. I want to repay. The echo rings clear from the hills of old Judea. Tell the lost. Come on, let's get a hold of God today. Let's get a hold of his feet at the cross. God, will you, Lord, pour yourself into me, Jesus.